present John le Carré's Call for the Dead, adapted for radio in five parts by René Basilico, starring George Cole as Smiley and Alfred Burke as Mendel. Call for the Dead, Episode 4.
You're awake, Mr. Smiley.
More or less, nurse. Why?
You've got a visitor.
Oh, have I, nurse? I seem to be getting very popular all of a sudden.
It's your magnetic personality. I'll get this water jug refilled for you.
Oh, that is kind of you.
May I?
Oh, come in, Mendel.
I'll leave you to it.
Well, what brings you?
Trouble, Mr. S.
What sort of trouble?
Our scrap dealer friend.
Adam Scar?
Yep. He's dead. Broke his neck. Fell off the end of the wharf.
Fell?
When the tide was out, and if you believe that, you believe anything.
In other words, he was pushed.
And no prizes for guessing who did the pushing?
No.
If you ask me, Blondie's got a nice little death list all neatly typed out. Fenner, you, Scar. Who else, I wonder?
My God, Mendel, you have got a nose for it, haven't you?
Hey, what are you up to? Have I said something?
Have you not? Pass my trousers, will you?
Oh, sure. What's the hurry?
The next name on Blondie's list, Mendel. It can only be Elsa Fennon. They're aborting the whole operation, don't you see? Blondie, Munt, or whatever his name is obliterating the traces, literally.
Yeah, you could be right at that.
Here's a fresh jug of water. What are you doing, Mr. Smiley?
Discharging myself, nurse.
But you can't. You're not well enough yet.
I hope you're wrong.
What will I tell the doctor?
Just a minute, nurse.
Yes?
A word in your ear.
What?
Tell him I think our nurses are wonderful.
Oh!
No, honest.
Oh. Oh.
Had a good cat?
Oh, sorry. I must have dozed off.
Oh, I wish I could do that.
What?
Catnap.
Ooh. Where are we?
We have just come off the Kingston bypass, not far now. Are you compass mentis?
Well, more or less. Why?
Well, if you grope around in the glove locker, you'll find the boffin's report comparing Fennon's suicide note with that other letter.
You mean the accusation?
Yeah.
Oh, is this it?
That's the one. Meant to give it to you earlier.
Have you read it?
Yes. Apparently the two notes were typed on the same machine, but by different people.
They can be that sure?
Well, the typeface is obviously the same, but the spacing and pressure were quite different. Same machine, though, no doubt.
Fennon's machine.
Probably. Portable, at any rate. We can check it out if we have to.
Mendel, tell me, what do they do with Fennon's personal possessions? You know, his wallet, notebook, that sort of thing.
Oh, they'll be whatever the body is, I should think.
Could you get hold of them somehow?
Yeah, I should think so. For any particular reason?
Well, you never know. We might find something that connects.
What, with Munt?
With anybody.
You know, if I were Munt, I wouldn't be worried one little bit about Elsa Fenner.
Oh? Why not?
Oh, I'd be much more concerned about saving my own skin.
You think he'll get out?
Well, he's pushing his luck if he doesn't.
Yes.
And the longer he leaves it, the harder it's going to be, if I've got anything to do with it.
Mm.
Look, I'd like to put out an alert for this joke, at least at the ports and the airports.
Well, do, by all means, if it makes you feel better.
It does.
And while you're about it, see if you can arrange some sort of protection for Elsa Fennon, will you?
If it makes you feel any better.
It does.
There's Merrydale Lane. I'll drop you at the corner, shall I?
Fine. What will you do?
There's a phone box just down the road. I'll see if I can whistle up a few bods to stand watch over Mrs. Fennon for you.
Thanks.
Are you sure that you don't want me to come in with you?
No. I think it might be better if I was alone with her.
Well, I wondered if you felt, you know...
No, I'm all right, really.
Okay. I'll be waiting here for you then.
Thanks.
You should have let me know you were coming, Mr. Smiley.
I thought it safer not to.
Safer?
We may not have much time, Mrs. Fennon. Do you understand what I mean?
No.
May I sit down?
If you wish.
Thank you.
You said we may not have much time, Mr. Smiley.
Yes. After I left you the other morning, a man tried to kill me. That night he tried again. I've only just come out of the hospital. The same man, the one who tried to kill me, had hired a car from a dealer. The dealer has since met with an unfortunate accident. A fatal accident.
What has this to do with me?
It would seem that someone is very anxious to cover his tracks, to eliminate anyone who might connect him with Samuel Fennan. Or with you, Mrs. Fennan.
Me? Why me?
But you know why.
No, I...
You are the most important connection of all. You're the supply line.
No.
It's not a game, you know, Mrs. Fennan. You can't play games with power like theirs. The real world, their world, just isn't like that.
I do not care about the real world, Mr. Smiley. Samuel was my world. He was all I had, all I ever dreamed of. Look at me. What dreams are left to me? I wanted long golden hair and they shaved my head. I wanted a beautiful body and they starved me.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, a long time ago. There are no dreams for me anymore, Mr. Smiley.
Yes, I know.
But Samuel had one dream. He dreamed of a great new world, a perfect world. He was like a little boy, Mr. Smiley, a child, and they led him like a child.
Who led him, Mrs. Fennan?
Samuel called him Freitag.
Who is that? Munt?
I suppose so.
And Dieter Frey? What did your husband call him?
You know Dieter.
We used to be friends. Where did you meet him?
At Garmisch, 5 years ago. Dieter must have planned it that way. He couldn't ski because of his leg. But Samuel was good at skiing. We went every year.
Every January?
Yeah, January, for 3 or 4 weeks. It was like paradise for him. Another world.
A dream world.
Yeah. It all seems so... so unreal now.
Dieter was real enough.
Yeah.
So was Munt.
I don't understand. Why should he try to kill you?
Didn't you tell him that I came back and asked about that 8:30 alarm call?
Oh, God.
You rang him, didn't you? As soon as I'd gone.
Yes. Yes, I was frightened. I told him to go away, go right away, to leave us alone.
So you rang him up?
Yes.
What was the number?
Why do you want to know?
You and I are still alive.
Yes.
There's no reason for us or anyone else to die, is there? Not anymore.
The number was 722-0042.
And the address?
I don't know the address. Only the telephone number.
Munt didn't meet you the night your husband died, did he? He didn't come to the theatre.
No.
Was that the first time he missed?
Yes.
So you panicked and left early?
No. Yes, yes, I suppose I panicked.
No, you didn't. You left early because you had to. That was the arrangement, wasn't it?
I...
Why did you have to leave early? Why, Mrs. Fennan?
I don't know.
You still don't understand, do you? Munt has tried, is trying to kill me. He'll kill you if he gets the chance. Why are you trying to protect him? What's the point in protecting him?
I don't know. I don't know.
I know why you left early. You had to catch the last post from the main post office, didn't you? He hadn't turned up at the theatre. You hadn't been able to exchange music cases. So you had to fall back on the emergency routine and post your cloakroom ticket onto him. That was the arrangement, wasn't it?
Yes.
So you must have an address. And I must know what it is, Mrs. Fennan, for both our sakes.
I posted the ticket to number 3 Maddox Mansions.
Where is that?
Hampstead, somewhere.
Thank you.
It's strange, you know. Samuel had made up his mind a long time ago what he was going to do.
And you helped him.
I had to. He was all I had. I suppose I was protecting myself in a way. Gradually I became part of it.
And then it was too late to stop.
Yes. Ironic, isn't it? Just when Samuel could have done so much for them.
They must have thought he'd betrayed them.
Yes. Dieter saw you two together in the park.
Ah.
He ordered Munt to kill Samuel.
Mm. Then who was it denounced him in the first place?
I don't know. I really don't know.
And the suicide note? Who wrote that, I wonder?
I did. On Samuel's typewriter. Freitag, Munt brought the paper. Samuel's signature was already on it. But I wrote it. I wrote my own husband's suicide note.
Okay.
Yes, I suppose so. I'd like a 24-hour guard on that woman.
You've already got one. Those blokes digging up the drains, they'll take a month if they have to.
How on earth did you contrive that?
All part of the service. How did it go?
I can't say I'm particularly proud of myself.
Blimey, you're not still pretending to be an idealist.
I'm still pretending to have ideals.
Well, you won't find them in our training manual.
No, I don't suppose you will.
So, how did it go?
Here.
What is it?
I think it's Munt's address. His unofficial one.
Hampstead, eh? That sounds about right for a diplomatic bolt hole.
Yes. Can you check it out, do you think?
No sweat. I think I'll go in with the heavy brigade, though.
Yes. I should if I were you.
Oh, where to now?
Well, could you drop me at the office?
Sure.
Only I think it's time I had a word with Marston. Good morning, Josie. I believe the controller's expecting me.
My God, George. You all right? You look terrible.
Thank you.
Have you told Anne yet?
That I look terrible? I think she's known for ages.
Idiot. I mean, have you told her? Well, about being beaten up and everything.
Not yet.
Shouldn't you tell her?
Not much point, really. Anyway, she's still away.
In Bermuda?
Yes.
Lucky thing. I bet she won't want to come back in a hurry.
No, I don't suppose she will. Not unless something blows up.
Is anything likely to?
Oh, you never can tell. Especially in Bermuda.
No. They have hurricanes out there, don't they?
They have them all over the place, but that's not quite what I meant, Josie.
Oh.
May I go in?
Yes. Mind what you say, though. He's in a foul mood this morning.
Isn't he always?
Ah, George, do come in.
Thank you.
Glad to see you up and about again. How are you feeling?
A little fragile, perhaps.
I'm not surprised. That really was a most frightful business.
Yes.
And it was definitely our friends from the Steel Mission.
No question. A fellow named Munt, diplomatic dog's body. Identified as Blondie by Adam Scar, the late Adam Scar, and corroborated by Inspector Mendel of Special Branch.
Yes, George, I've read your report and Gillam's. I've read them both very carefully indeed.
It all fits, surely.
It fits what we know, George. But then we know so little about GDR procedures, don't we?
Well, we know enough.
And what we do know would suggest that to use a trade delegation as a staging post is, to say the least, rather unusual.
But not inconceivable.
No, not inconceivable, I admit. But that would suggest a resident agent of some caliber, someone like a McLean or a Fuchs.
Or a Fennan.
Oh, come on, George. Fennan was small fry by comparison.
But growing bigger by the minute.
Then why kill him? Tell me that, George.
I believe they thought he was a double agent. Fry saw him talking to me in the park.
Did he?
Yes.
Doesn't that strike you as a rather improbable coincidence?
Not particularly. Fry knows me pretty well. He worked for me on the Berlin station, remember?
And 10 years later, he just happened to be standing in St. James's Park at the precise moment when you should decide to interview Fennan, there?
Yes.
Oh, my dear George, I would have thought that was stretching coincidence to the point of pure fantasy.
Fennan might well have been under surveillance.
Is that likely?
It's certainly possible.
Yes, but is it likely, George?
Am I to understand that you find my report unacceptable?
Good gracious, no, George. I accept it without reservation. I have too much respect for your integrity to do anything else. But to the mandarins at the Foreign Office, it could prove,
unpalatable?
Exactly. I knew you'd understand. Anyway, there's been enough speculation. Time to accept the facts as they present themselves. Fennan is dead. And surely that's an end to it.
You know, sleeping dogs have a nasty habit of waking, usually at the most inopportune moments.
Oh, quite so, George, but the present situation is quite delicate. And it might be in the best interest of the department and of yourself not to rush this report out too quickly.
I understand.
You can rely on my judgment. Believe me, George.
Mm. What are you going to do about the Steel Mission?
Ah, yes. The Steel Mission. Well, if, as you suggest in your report, its sole purpose was to service Fenon, it will now presumably wither and die.
And if it doesn't?
If it doesn't, it won't do any harm to keep it under permanent surveillance. Don't you agree?
Perhaps. Well, that just leaves Elsa Fenon.
Yes. I really don't know what to do about her. Now, I shall have to think about that one.
You will indeed.
I gather from your report, George, that you think this fellow Munt may still try to kill her.
It seems likely.
Yes. Yes, it does. You know, it mightn't be a bad thing if he succeeded. It would certainly solve a lot of problems from our point of view.
He said what?
That it might solve a lot of problems if Munt were to kill Elsa Fenon. Seriously, Peter.
Well, I knew Marston was a cold-blooded so-and-so, but that takes the biscuit.
You know, in a funny sort of way, he could well be right.
If he is, it'll be for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, isn't it always? Poor woman must be in a terrible predicament. Her husband's dead. She'll almost certainly be charged under the Official Secrets Act. And she's
got nowhere to run to.
I doubt whether she's even considered running.
You think anyone's offered her the chance?
Well, it's just possible. Dieter Fry was always a bit of a romantic.
He's flown, by the way.
Well, I can't say I'm surprised.
Left the country the day after Fenon was murdered. Didn't even stop to cancel his milk.
Is he being replaced? At the Steel Mission, I mean.
I don't know. They've released an official statement to the effect that he's been recalled.
And an announcement about his successor will be made soon, no doubt.
Something to that effect. What about Munt's bolt hole?
Well, Mendel's looking after that. This very minute, I shouldn't be surprised.
His name's Headley, sir. Been the hall porter here for donkey's years, apparently.
Well, let's hope he's not too decrepit, then.
Ah, Mr. Headley?
Yes? Police. I'm Inspector
Mendel. Nothing wrong, is there?
No, nothing wrong, sport. We're just nosy about the party in number three.
Number three? You mean the German bloke, Gunther?
Gunther, yeah, that'll be him. What do you know about him?
Not much. He's a pilot for the German airline, Luftwaffe or whatever they call it. He's only here one day a week.
But when's that, do you know?
Let's see, Tuesdays, that's the day.
Only Tuesdays?
Yes, a stopover, I think they call it. Comes in on Tuesday afternoon, out again, crack of dawn Wednesday.
Neat, very neat.
You mean he rents the apartment just for that one night a week?
Well, his mate uses it for the rest of the time, doesn't he?
His mate?
Yes, big blonde fella.
With big blue eyes?
Yes, that's right.
You wouldn't recognise him from this photo, I don't suppose?
Half a mo, I'd better put my specs on. Let's see now.
Is that him?
Yes. Oh, yes, quite definitely. That's him, all right.
Is he in now?
No, it's funny you should ask that, because I haven't seen him for some days now. Not since Thursday, in fact. And then he was in and out like a sailor in a brothel.
You're sure it was Thursday?
Oh, positive. His rent was due Friday, wasn't it? First Friday of the month.
You mean Blondie paid the rent?
Well, the other one was never here, was he?
So Blondie missed out last Friday.
Wasn't like him. Wasn't like him a bit. He was usually as regular as clockwork.
Yes, I bet. Just wind him up.
There's no more than I expected. Did you go over the room?
With a fine tooth comb, nothing left but the furniture. They've scarpered, I'm afraid. No two ways about it.
Yes, it does rather look like it, doesn't it?
What about this pilot bloke, Gunther?
A courier, almost certainly.
You know, Blondie used the name Gunther for his membership of the theatre club, remember?
Yes, you told me. It's not significant.
Well, what is?
Well, it's beginning to look as though Munt has flown without even attempting to kill Elsa Fenon.
Maybe they've left her to the wolves. After all, she can't be very important to him.
My God, Mendel, you're beginning to think like Marston.
Oh, no offence intended, sir. It's all right, I'll get it. 1408. Yeah? Yes, he's right here having a cuppa. This for you.
Oh, right.
Peter Killam.
Thanks. Hello, Peter.
George, I think I've got something for you. It could be important.
Where are you?
At the Foreign Office. I'm with Felix Tavener in the documents registry.
I'll be there in about half an hour.
Fine, I'll wait for you here.
I'm going into the Foreign Office.
Oh, I'll drive you in. I've got one or two calls to make myself.
All right. Let's go, shall we?
Hello, George. You know Felix Tevener, don't you?
Yes, of course. How are all your kids, Felix?
Oh, God increases their number, as ever.
How many is it now?
Round half dozen. I shall have to give it up soon, or it'll start interfering with my sex life.
Well, what have you turned up for us?
And I asked Felix to see if he could sort out which files had been marked out to Fenon's section.
I've restricted myself to the past 2 years for the moment.
Well, that should be enough.
Well, otherwise I'd be here forever. You see, where a file's been particularly requested by a section, they have to use a requisition form.
Go on.
There are a couple of dozen requisition forms signed out to Fenon on Friday evenings and signed in again on Monday mornings.
In other words, he was taking the stuff home over the weekend.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, that's not unusual, George.
No. But since he was promoted...
That's the odd thing, George. Fenon still took stuff home, but only unclassified material.
But he had access to the secret files. He could have taken anything he wanted.
I know. Doesn't make sense, does it?
No requisition for secret files?
No. Just very low-grade stuff that barely related to his normal work. He even took home some files that dealt with subjects totally outside the scope of his section.
But still unclassified?
Yeah.
Stuff that couldn't have been of any intelligence value to anyone.
How about earlier, before he moved into his new job? What kind of stuff went home then?
Files he'd used during the day, policy and so on. More or less what you'd expect.
Anything unusual?
Nothing unexpected, George. No particularly delicate stuff, if that's what you mean. Right, Felix?
Right. Your friend Fenon was a real joker, wasn't he?
Do you want me to drop you somewhere, George?
No, I'll come back to the office with you, if I may. Mendel's picking me up there.
Fine. You were still staying at Mendel's place?
Yes. I think it's high time I moved back to my own home, though. Especially if Munt really has gone.
Oh, he's gone, all right. We checked it out as soon as Mendel told us.
Peter, have you considered why they wanted to kill Fenon so much? I mean, they had nothing to gain by killing him, even if he had betrayed them.
Unless they were frightened of a chain reaction.
Oh, if there's any sort of chain reaction at all, it's likely to be the one that led to Fenon's death.
How do you mean?
Well, Dieter Fry apparently saw me talking to Fenon, his agent, in St. James's Park and concluded that he was going to confess.
Or that he was a double and working for you.
Whatever. Anyway, Munt was ordered to kill Fenon, which he did instead of meeting Elsa Fenon at the theatre.
It must have been pretty grisly for her when she got home.
Yes, especially when they realised it was all a mistake, that Dieter had completely misinterpreted the motive behind Fenon's meeting with me.
It beats me how Elsa Fenon could bring herself to type out her own husband's suicide note.
Well, she had to protect her own complicity.
She was also protecting her husband's murderer.
Perhaps. Remember, he was standing over her at the time. Munt's the sort of man children have bad dreams about. Grown men, too, I shouldn't wonder.
And he had enough wit to bring some notepaper with him, all ready and signed.
Now, that sounds more like Dieter. It'll be typical of him to take out some sort of insurance. Few sheets of notepaper with Fenon's signature on them. Probably forged.
In case he ever needed to compromise or blackmail him.
Oh, it's a vintage gambit.
George, have you considered the possibility that your pal Dieter might have done that in the first place?
Did you mean blackmailed Fenon into working for him?
Something like that. It might explain why Fenon was only taking home low-grade rubbish instead of all the high-level stuff he had access to.
Well, that raises all sorts of new possibilities.
Yes, doesn't it?
You know, Peter, if your blackmail theory holds water, it could suggest that Elsa Fenon herself wrote the letter denouncing her husband.
In the hope of getting him off the hook, I suppose.
Hmm.
Which means Munt must have typed the suicide note on Fenon's machine. I must say I like that much better.
Yes, except that Elsa Fenon's already admitted typing the suicide note.
Maybe she was lying.
Well, why should she? There was no point.
Well, someone wrote that annunciation, and it was hardly likely to be Munt or Dieter Fry.
Mr. Smiley, sir.
Well, hello, Henry.
There's a gentleman to see you, Mr. Smiley, sir. Says his name's Mendel, that's it.
Ah, yes.
Where is he, Henry?
Well, I shoved him in the anteroom, sir. Told him to wait.
Come on, Peter.
Right, with you.
Thank you, Henry.
Pleasure, sir.
Oh, Mendel, I hope you haven't been waiting long.
10 minutes, no more.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Mind you, we've got better waiting rooms than this in the Nick.
I can imagine.
What have you got there?
Pocket diary. One of the deceased's effects. I just claimed them from the coroner's office before any undesirables got their grubby paws on them.
Oh, well done.
Makes interesting reading, too. Even mentions that phone call that's been getting up your nostrils so much.
Does it?
Listen to this. Tuesday the 3rd, arrange alarm call, 0830. Wednesday the 4th, 1300, Smiley C.A., whatever that means.
Complete angler, I should think. Well, it's a rather exotic pub at Marlow. It doesn't say why, does it?
Sorry.
You know that Fennan had arranged to take that day off.
The Wednesday?
According to his secretary.
That's funny. His wife didn't mention it.
Perhaps he didn't tell her.
No. Well, he couldn't have done. She'd have tried to explain it otherwise.
I've got something even better for you.
Oh, what's that?
Dieter Fry, says here.
What?
What?
722-8880.
That's the East German steel mission.
Do you mean to say he's actually written that down?
That's right. As a latter-day Philby, I'd say the late Samuel Fennan was a bit of a Burke, wouldn't you?
You could say that again.
No, quite the contrary.
What?
I'd say he was a very sensitive and perceptive man. It's obvious when you think about it.
What is?
That letter denouncing Samuel Fennan.
How do you mean?
Well, it can only have been written by Samuel Fennan himself.
That was part 4 of Call for the Dead, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred George Cole as Smiley and Alfred Burke as Mendel, with Douglas Blackwell as Peter Gillam and Richard Handel as Marston. Elsa Fennan was played by Hilda Kreisman, Josie by Jane Williams, Headley by James Thomason, and Felix Taverner by Malcolm Gerrard. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Produced by John Fawcett Wilson.